As we've been discussing all morning, today is the opening day of the 114th Congress, and this Congress has got a lot to consider and a lot to accomplish if it wants. But what can federal employees expect from this new Washington, especially with all of the new faces joining the floor later this morning? Joining us with some analysis and predictions, Don Kettle, a professor at the University of Maryland's School of Public Policy. Good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Tom. It's so good to be with you.
All right. So there's a lot of new members of this year, this time around, and a different party in power, but which we've seen over the years. What's your expectation of how things run when there's this much sea change in Congress?
You know, it's stunning how much change there is going out there. But one of the things that is pulling everything back in the other direction is that the Republican leaders, especially John Boehner and Mitch McConnell, are absolutely committed to ensuring that there's no chaos. They know how badly the Republican brand was damaged by the government shutdown and by the other problems and battles that they had. And so both of them are committed to trying to find a way to carve their way through this. But on the other hand, President Obama has signaled very clearly that he's interested in not sitting back. He wants to move things forward, and he's prepared to move through executive action as if he has to, as he showed with the immigration policy. So the Republicans are also determined not to let that happen as well. So we're setting the stage for new kinds of battles and new pieces of conflict, but in a very different way than what we've seen before, and in a way that if the Republicans have their way, at least, the Republican leaders have their way, at least, there won't be a government shutdown over budget issues in the meantime.
And there's still the appropriation bill, though, ahead for Homeland Security. That's going to be maybe the test issue of how well this can all work.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the big issue that's hanging out there. It will be just a few weeks down the road. And as we remember, Homeland Security was not permanently funded for the rest of the fiscal year, along with the rest of the government, because the Republicans were upset about the president's policies on immigration. And so they've got to find a way to provide funding, because nobody wants long, 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 long lines for things like airport security or having other parts of Homeland Security shut down. But on the other hand, on immigration, the Republicans really want to try to find some way to force the president to back down. The president's going to say, I'm happy to do that anytime you want, as long as you pass a more comprehensive immigration reform. And so that battle is going to be shaping up for sure. That's going to be the test case that will show the relative power of the president and the Republicans in Congress and within the Republican caucus, just how strong this collection of Republican leaders is going to be in trying to corral a new group of people, would include a lot of folks who came to Washington trying to find ways of changing some of these policies that they ran against. It's going to be a very interesting battle. So that's going to be the big battle that's going to be right first up on the agenda, and now within just a few weeks.
Now, much has been made about the disagreements between the more conservative and the more centrist part of the Republican Party. But don't the Democrats have the same issue? And I think that's galvanized around, you know, Elizabeth Warren, who is opposing Antonio Weiss as the Treasury Undersecretary. This has been a big issue. Someone the Obama administration nominated. He is down the line policy-wise with everything that this administration has wanted, but he did come from Wall Street. So that one little aspect of his life is enough to cause at least part of the Democratic Party to say, you know, get lost. So aren't both parties really dealing with the same dynamic?
They both have the same problem. The Democrats have a really interesting dilemma because they've got to find some way to be able to operate effectively in the minority, and they haven't been there for a while. And in addition to that, they have some members, including Elizabeth Warren herself, who have possible aspirations for the presidency. There are lots of people going to be trying to find ways of setting themselves up. Senator Warren is positioning herself as the liberal alternative to Hillary Clinton, and she's hoping to be able to build some support and to do that by finding ways of picking just the right battles to signal a more progressive stance to potential constituents and voters out there. So that's going to be bubbling in the background. The Democrats are in a position now of not having to pass something themselves because the Republicans have the majority, but they have to make sure they don't look disheveled in the process. So they have some very interesting internal conflicts that they're going to have to fight through, and a concern that perhaps Obama has drifted too far to the center or to the right in the minds of some of the members of the Senate. And so you look at all that put together, we have internal dissensions that the leaders and also the individual members are going to have to try to sort out against the backdrop of really tough issues like immigration and Medicare reimbursement. the Keystone Pipeline and other things that are going to be bubbling out there for sure.
We're speaking with Don Kettle. He's a professor at the University of Maryland School of Public Policy. And for federal agencies that are facing oversight hearings and policy changes, such as, you know, the EPA, for example, has proposals, you know, on the climate deal that would cause a lot of work simply internally for the agency, regardless of whether they like the policy or not. They've got to carry it out. What do you see ahead in terms of Congress and the whole management of the federal bureaucracy and of the pay and benefits for federal employees?
It's going to be fascinating to watch because there's an overhang over everything about just how quickly nomination process is going to work for vacancies as they pop up. We're getting into the last 2 years of the administration, and in every administration, that's always a time when people leave, and the White House faces the challenge of trying to get new people in charge. It's very clear that on the oversight side, that the Republicans are interested in making hay wherever they can. They got increasingly good at it toward the end of the last year. They think that the president's vulnerable on charges of management, and they're going to argue that he's mismanaging the federal government. And so they're happy to pick up an issue and run with it as long as it gives them ammunition, and then find another one and go with it as well. What those targets will be, as we saw last year, are unpredictable, but that it's very clear that for those running federal programs, these questions of oversight are going to be out there, are going to be recurring, and are going to be unpredictable. So we have that, I think, in the background in addition. So the question of overall leadership, the question of oversight, and the question of the kind of harsh publicity that can sometimes come down along with that could very well have a tendency to make people be very defensive. But on the other hand, one of the things we've learned in the past is that the last 2 years sometimes could be a time of great opportunity for federal managers because the presidential campaign has already started. There are going to be big battles on the Hill. So opportunities for people and agencies to really make some interesting innovations and to try to get out there and lead sometimes is greater than it is at any time during the course of a presidency. And so federal managers out there really do have this opportunity to try to maybe stage some breakthroughs to make improvements in the way in which their programs operate.
And looking at your blog, you have written recently, and I should mention this, that in many cases, you've chided the media to some degree for not being able to distinguish between a child falling into a well, to kind of quote Stalin, and versus something that kills 10,000 people. Everything rises to the same level of hysteria, whether it's minor or major, especially when it comes to issues of management in the federal government.
That's one of the things that's a huge problem out there right now, because for federal managers, there can be small problems, there can be big problems, and as long as there's something that produces interesting video or produces a kind of ghastly reaction on the evening news, it's the kind of thing that the media can pick up and run with. And one of the things we've discovered is the media has just gotten terrible, absolutely terrible, at separating out the stories that are especially big and the ones that are much less consequential. And I did a piece in the January-February issue of the Washington Monthly that looks at this and other implications for trying to move the federal government forward. One of the things that federal managers clearly need to be alert to is the fact that even small things could end up coming around to bite them. But on the other hand, they and we all need to do a much better job of trying to separate the things that really matter from the things that don't. If you look at just the hysteria that we had over Ebola, we discovered that there was almost a national panic that was more fueled by the media's reaction than by the realities. The CDC had a rough kind of start to that, but on the other hand, public communications got much better fairly quickly, especially as Tony Fauci and the NIH became much more involved in messaging. So it's very clear here that one of the lessons for federal managers is the need to be alert to the way in which issues are popping up, even if they sometimes seem out of their control, and being especially alert to exactly how best to try to portray those issues, to describe them in the media, to be able to get out in front and to be able to shape the way in which the stories are being covered. And that's something, especially as things get more unpredictable and the media prove more willing to try to run after anything that looks like it might be an interesting headline, to ensure that people have the right story and can portray it in the best and the most productive way, that people actually get the story right, because the media have gotten less and less good at doing exactly that.
I guess that first rough draft of history has gotten a lot rougher in recent years.
But it's gotten much rougher, in part because there'll be just one thing after another that the media will chase. But then on top of that, the media has gotten especially bad at separating out the things that in the long run will matter for history from the things that turn out to be 48-hour stories. And that's one of the things, since managers have been around for a long time, they have often much better instincts about the stories that are likely to stick. And so they are in a much better position of helping to craft the way in which the media and therefore the rest of us view the work that the federal government's actually doing.
All right. We're all on notice. Don Kettle is a professor at the University of Maryland School of Public Policy. Don, as always, great to have you on.
Great to be with you, Tom. Stay dry and warm.